How many were here last Sunday for our Easter service? You enjoy the Easter service? Amen. We're still getting reports from our Easter service. We had several people fill out cards that I've called this week that came to the Lord, accepted the Lord as their personal Savior on Sunday. Spoke to several of those folks, and we also had a gentleman who I had spoken to maybe a month ago who was an agnostic, and he had come to the Easter Sunday service, and after the service, he came up to me, and he was in tears, and he said, "I believe in the resurrection." So, praise God for that. So, I'm continuing to dialogue with this gentleman. We're having great conversation. About the things of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, I also want to tell you, and as was mentioned, we have a big weekend coming up this coming weekend, April 17th and 18th. Our activities team has worked very, very hard to put together this pancake breakfast and Chinese auction. It is Saturday between 8 and 12. I don't believe it's all you can eat, correct? Come on, shake your head yes or no. Kind of? All right, well, there it is. We need you to sign up today if you're coming, just so we can get an estimate of how many people are coming. Okay? Would you do that for us? Would you sign up? I'm going to sign up and all the people I'm bringing. I haven't signed up yet. So we'll all sign up today so the team can have an estimate of who's coming. Now, the Chinese auction is a great deal of fun. My little six-year-old niece asked me about it, calls me on the phone every day. When's the Chinese auction? When's the Chinese auction? I want my tickets. I want my tickets. So I got to buy her a lot of tickets so she can spread it out, and win something. She won something the last time we did it, so she's excited. So, but the Chinese auction is a lot of fun. So come on out and join us. It's going to be a great time. Again, our activities team has worked very hard. We have some fantastic things to auction off, and I believe you will enjoy the food, the fellowship, and the auction. Amen? Now, next Sunday, is going to be also a very special Sunday here. It's This Generation Sunday, and we are going to try to speak a word to this generation, and we're asking you, college kids, young adults, we're trying to get people to come and hear that word. And I know people in the church are inviting people, and it's going to be a great Sunday, This Generation Sunday. We have some special music that day, and we also have a special service that night at 6 p.m. in the gym with our youth, and all of our college kids and young adults are invited to attend that service. Amen? Amen. Amen. I know I'm forgetting something that I wanted to say, but maybe I'll remember it later. All right. Are you ready for the word this morning? Oh, that wasn't very convincing. Amen. Are the males ready this morning? Do you have heavy shoes on this morning, males? Because your toes are going to take a beating this morning. Males, come on, males. Women, you might be shouting this morning. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it flows and goes, all right? We're continuing today with our series, Relationships, the Cornerstone of Our Lives. And this is part three. Part one was In Pursuit of Friendship, and part two was The Myth of Singleness. And today, part three is entitled, He Created Them Male and Female. He created them male and female. A few weeks ago, we were talking about Matthew chapter 19, where the Pharisees approached Jesus and asked him a question about divorce. And they said to Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" And, you know, Jesus at that point basically ignores the question. They ask him about divorce, and his answer was, "Haven't you read at the beginning The Creator made them male and female. Now, later on in the chapter, they had to remind Jesus, hey, Jesus, we're talking about divorce. He did address divorce later on in that chapter, but his initial answer was not about divorce. He said divorce is not the problem. It is a symptom of a deeper problem. Amen. The problem, church, is male and female. He says the material you're using for marriage isn't what the Father originally intended. He said the problem with your relationships falling apart is the elements, the ingredients. It's not the beginning, male and female. It's not what I intended in the beginning. So let's see today what we can extract about male and female in the beginning. Because there is nothing, church, more complicated than the male and the female creature. And what we're going to talk about today, listen, it applies to all relationships, male and female, not just marriage. Even though we're going to be focusing on marriage, these principles, these things we're going to talk about today, apply to all male and female relationships. Amen? All right. Now, man, we know man was created with the need and capacity for relationships. God created you as a human being. All of us are mankind. We were created to be social creatures. We were born, created, and designed to relate to other people. So therefore, right at the beginning, the Creator establishes the principle of relationship right from the beginning. After he created man, he says in Genesis 2, verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. See, God is deciding right there, he doesn't want humans to be alone. Now listen, alone in the Hebrew language means all in one. See, that tells you something about God's creative, mysterious, creative power. What God did was God created everybody, and he took everybody and he put them in one body. And then he put that one body in the garden. So one man had everybody in the one body. You got it? God made one human from the soil, and he never went back. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God made one human from the soil, and he never went back. Today, we have 6.7 billion people on earth, and God only made one. That means every one of those 6 billion people came out of that one person. That's why God says it's not good for man to be all in one. Now, the word alone, listen, does not mean lonely. Adam was not lonely. He was simply all in one. Everybody was in one body. And God says it's not good for the man to be all in one body. Now, the word alone, all in one, is defined in the dictionary as isolated. To be isolated means that you are the only one like yourself. To be isolated means that there is no other kind like you. See, there was no one like him, Adam, to relate to. So what did God have to do? God had to go inside the man and pull out another man just like him. That's why she's called the womb man. When Adam saw her, he said, wow, she's bone of my bone. See, he ain't never seen bone like this before. Bone with a frame that's walking on two legs. All he saw was dogs and cats and horses and monkeys and roaches and rats. He never saw anything walking two legs upright. Even the monkeys got a touch. You know, they go like this. Even they got a touch. So he never saw anything that walked upright. He said, man, this is bone structure like my bone structure. Then he said, this is flesh just like my flesh. I mean, what does he mean? I mean, he never saw a creature with smooth skin. All he saw was feathers and hair and scales, but he never saw the creature like him. So he says, wow, for the first time in my existence, I've seen a creature that has my frame and my flesh. Now, remember this principle. In order for giving to be complete, the receiver has to be exactly like the giver. I repeat. In order for giving to be complete, the receiver has to be exactly like the giver. Adam could not completely give to an animal, listen, because an animal couldn't appreciate it. That's why Jesus said, don't give your pearls to swine. Hogs can't appreciate diamonds. In other words, listen, if you give a $50,000 diamond to a pigeon, it'll mess on it. If you give a $50,000 diamond to a dog, it'll play with it. Now, if you give a $50,000 diamond to a woman, hey, glory, hallelujah. She knows how to receive that, doesn't she? Why? Because she's just like you. You don't hear it. So in order for Adam to have someone to relate to, they had to be exactly like Adam. That's why God didn't go outside of Adam to get somebody. He went inside of Adam to get somebody. Now look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I want to show you something. Verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now listen, look. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created, now see that word, him. He created him. That word him there is a singular plural. Now let me explain that. The name of the species is called man. The whole species. So God called it him. So the entire species is called man. And he refers to the species as him. Then he says, male and female, he created them. He says this species, man, him, man, comes in two models. The male model and the female model. But the species is called man. So man is the name of the spirit species that came out of God because he breathed the breath of life into that species. God took the spirit species, man, and put him in two different models, the male model and the female model, but both are filled with man. So Nancy is a man, but she's a man in a female body. I'm a man, but I'm a man in a male body. And the reason why God made them male and female body is in order to produce more bodies so more man could come out. Notice the last word in woman is what? It's man. So they are both man, except she is the man with the womb. That's all that means. She is the womb man, and he is the man without the womb, but they are both man. Man is the name God gave the species and breathed the breath of life in that species. Therefore, it is a spirit species. And listen, spirits have no gender. Listen, there's no such thing in the Bible anywhere as a male or female spirit. It doesn't exist in the Bible. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where it says a she spirit or a he spirit. Spirits have no gender. God is neither male nor female. Well, you say, well, we call him Father God. But Father means source, sustainer, foundation. God is our Father because we came out of him. He is the source. He sustains us. He upholds us by the power of his word. And he is our foundation. That's why he's our Father. But in the spirit, there is no gender. God is neither male nor female. People have a problem with the Bible calling God he. So we want to change it and call him she. He or she doesn't mean anything to God. Spirits have no gender. You know, don't believe me. I got to go off my message. I got to put up Matthew. You don't believe me. Put up Matthew 22. See, you're making me go somewhere else. You know, I wasn't planning. Go to Matthew 22. Watch this encounter with the Sadducees. Verse 23. It says, that same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. He's teacher, they said. Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Thank God that's not doesn't apply today, right? It's Lord Jesus. Woo, what a law that was. Now, I don't want anything. I don't want my sister-in-law. So don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. All right, come on, back to the scripture. Come on, you got me off here. I got thoughts going through my head you wouldn't believe. You say, Pastor Charlie, you. All right, verse 23. Now, that's the law. Now he says, now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, here's a question. Whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Good question. Jesus replied, you are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Now listen, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Why? Because they will be like angels in heaven. Spirits. See, Jesus was teaching on the resurrection in this passage, and in the crowd were the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. So when they heard Christ speak about the resurrection, they had a problem. So they asked him a question. They said, there's a law that Moses wrote that says when a man marries a woman, if the man dies, his brother must marry her to protect her name. And then if he dies, the other brother must marry her to protect her name. Now that was a law. That was a law. So therefore he said, there's a woman. So they tell the story. There's a woman where the man had died. So the brother married her and he died. Another brother married her and he died. Then another brother married her, and he died. Now, I don't know if she was killing them or something, but you know, the fifth brother is a fool, okay? Is a fool, because after four die, married? Come on, come on. He should have said, not me, baby, Lola not. No, 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 no. I'll take my chances. Come on. It got to the, if I was the fifth, no, 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 Lola or not, I'm out of here. No, four died already? So they said that she married seven brothers and they all died. Now they thought they had Jesus. They thought they had him. Watch this, watch this. They said, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? If there's life after death, Jesus, who is she going to be married to? Jesus said, how foolish you are. You don't understand the scriptures. Have you not understood or read that in the spirit world, they are like angels. They are spirits. They're not marrying or giving in marriage, for they are spirits like angels in heaven. What's the point? A spirit has no gender. Therefore, a spirit has no need of marriage or for marriage. When you lose your body, you are genderless. Marriage is temporary. It is an earth project only. In the spirit world, there's no gender. So inside every human being is a man. So man is a spirit. In every man, there is a man, and in every woman, there is a man. In every female, there is a man, and that's a spirit being. Now, let me throw this in. If you got a problem with women's ministries, if you don't believe that women should teach the Word of God, and if you got a problem listening to a woman teach or preach the Word of God, let me tell you something. What you should do is close your eyes and let the man preach. Got it? As spirits, church, listen, male and female are equal. Now, why is that so important? Why? Because our culture contaminates that reality. In much of history, men have been taught to believe that a woman is not equal to him. So listen, we got a lot of Christian men walking around saying, I believe they are equal, but they don't treat their wives that way. She has something to say, I ain't got no time to listen to you. Why? Why does he say that? Because in his heart, he doesn't believe you have anything to say which is of value. He makes a decision without consulting you. Why? Because you ain't important. You're not equal to him. And even though we claim to believe they are equal, our culture, our upbringing, our conditioning tells the man, well, no, they're not completely equal to you. And here you are, Christian man, treating her as if she's not equal to you. And she is equal. She is a spirit of equal equality. She has the same nature. She is the image of God. That's why the Bible says when a man hates his wife, he hates himself. You know what he hates? He hates the image of God. You heard? Yes. No man can say, the Bible says, no man can say he loves God and hates his own brother. And that includes your spouse. Listen to me. If you treat your spouse less than you, you're treating God less than God. You can clap. The male and female are equal. So before you get married to anybody, settle it in your mind, I am marrying somebody equal to me. That's hard for a lot of men who were brought up a certain way culturally to deal with. See, you got some countries in the Far East, women are just cattle. They're still nothing. They walk behind the man. It's amazing. In the 21st century, women are still trying to be equal to men. Amazing. The male and female are both man. They are equal. The male and female are equal in value. The man has God's nature. The female has God's nature. The man is eternal. The female is eternal. They are both spirits. The male is the glory of God. The female is the glory of God. The male is the image of God. The female is the image of God. The male is a dirt body. The female is a dirt body. The word humus means dirt. That's what the word human means. It means man in a dirt body, a spirit in a dirt body. The male is a physical body. The female is a physical body. The male is sensual. The female is sensual. That means they function in their bodies by their senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. That's how they function. The spirit doesn't function that way. Your spirit doesn't smell, it discerns. Your spirit doesn't see, it perceives. It works differently. Your body is completely sensual. It works on senses. And let me tell you, senses operate by chemicals and hormones. That's why you can't always trust your senses. Oh, come on. Listen to me. Don't get married because of the sensations you have from sex. Sensations. Don't get married just because somebody looks physically appealing. Your senses are playing tricks on you. Because some of those people who look good to you are the ugliest people on the inside. So you can't always trust your senses. Now, I didn't say you could never trust your senses, but I said you can't always let them lead you. Listen, church, they say in general, Tom, you're laughing back there. He's cracking up. Help yourself, brother, crack up. They say in general, listen, you ready for this? You ready for this? We're going to get a little R-rated, all right? You ready? They say in general, a man responds to what he sees. And a woman responds, in general, a woman responds to what she hears. Listen, that's why men like to look at women. Yeah. Men respond. Men. Put your sunglasses back on, Ray. Men respond to, look, it's just a fact of nature. Men respond to what they see. They have a chemical reaction, all right, by sight. Come on. Women have the same reaction, but it's by what they hear. By hearing. Listen, that's why many times you can lie to a woman and she will still believe it. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're the only one. And she will believe that thing because women, they feel what they hear. And the problem is many men mess with women like this. And listen, women, you enjoy the mess. Say it again. You know. You enjoy the mess. All women, listen, all women, Chinese, Japanese, African, white, black, Spanish, whatever, all women are the same when it comes to this kind of makeup. They feel what they hear. All men are the same. All men respond to sight. Look, when a woman and a man get married and they're involved in sexual intercourse and they begin to get involved sexually, you know what a man wants? He wants to see you. Turn the light on. She says, no, turn the light off. Why does he want the light on? He wants to see. His eyes react to what he sees. She says, turn it off. Just talk to me. I don't know where to take. I'm going to get out of this because I don't know where to go after this. I'm going to get out of this. My point is, listen, The body is sensual, listen, and we have to manage our bodies. The Bible says to practice self-control. That is a fruit of the Spirit. You got to control yourself because your body will do whatever you tell it to do. Your body, listen, is stupid. It does what you say. All right, let's look at the differences now between male and female, and there are many, but today we're just going to look at the differences and what we can extract from Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, Jesus told us to go back to the beginning, male and female. So, we've established that male and female are equal but different. They are equal in value but different in function. They're equal in value but different in makeup. Equal in value but different in characteristics. And listen, you have got to learn and understand these differences or there's going to be problems. Now, number one, we see from Genesis is that the male was created first. Why? The male was created first, listen, because God wanted him to be the foundation to build everything else on. The female was created second, so she was built, listen, on top of the male. So now the male is on the bottom, he's the foundation. The female came out of the male. She didn't come from his hip or his back. She came from his front. So she's on top. Now, many men, they like to change this thing around the other way and say, I'm on top of the woman. When you're in fact supposed to be under the woman, listen, holding her up. You're the foundation. Listen, you're the foundation. That's the way God built you. You are designed and built by God. Listen. You are designed and built by God to carry her weight. I didn't hear nothing on that. A woman, listen, a woman was designed to be carried by the weight of a man. And I'm going to tell you something. This is why relationships don't work many times, because the men keep transferring responsibility to the woman. Listen, men, you are the foundation. That means you are responsible for everything that happens in that particular family. I'm going to tell you something. Can I get more real? You are a married man. Listen, you're a married man, and you're in the presence of a woman who ain't your wife. You are responsible. Listen, if she starts coming on to you, you are responsible to stop that. Don't tell me your knees buckled and all that stuff. Straighten up your knees. No woman can make you fall under her. Why? Because you're the foundation. And I'm going to tell you something. Women, some women need a good man to give them a spiritual slap. Listen, they're coming on to you and you're married. They need a spiritual slap. The man needs to say, how dare you insult my wife? How dare you insult my wife? That's what you tell her. This ain't about me and you, girl. You're fooling with my wife. That's a real man. That's being the foundation. Listen, that's taking responsibility for the relationship. The most important part of the building, of this building, what's the most important part? The foundation. Because the foundation is holding up the entire building. And everything in this building is resting on the foundation. The walls, the roof, everything is resting on this foundation. Now, you can see the walls, the windows, and the roof. But you don't see the foundation. Yet, it is built first and it carries everything. Listen, The male is supposed to be unseen, but carrying all the weight. Oh, how's that for a tough man? See, the attitude of the male comes from the foundation, the way God made him. But men have become so twisted since the fall, they believe they're supposed to be dominating the woman rather than upholding the woman. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number two, the male was placed in the Garden of Eden first. The Garden of Eden means presence of God. And the female was presented to the male, in Eden. In other words, the male was already in God's presence and the female met him there. Ladies, the most important thing to know about a man is not how much money he makes, but where is he? Where is he? The first thing God asked Adam when he messed up was, Adam, where are you? Where are you? If the male has no sense of God's presence, no sense of being created in the image of God, no sense of God's grace, no sense of God's love, you're off to a bad start. Maybe you shouldn't fool with him. Number three, the male was given work first. The female was created, as the King James says, help meet, or a helper suitable, a helper to the male. That means that any woman who wants a good relationship with a man, any woman who wants a good relationship with a man has to make sure that the man has some kind of sense of vision and purpose for his life. That he at least has an idea of where he's going. Otherwise, you're going to be a frustrated woman. I'm not saying that he has to have it all together and have the perfect plan or fully know his purpose and vision. I mean, you could be in limbo for various reasons through no fault of your own. Understood? But if he has no plan, no vision, no sense of direction, you're going to be a frustrated woman. Because helper, help me, helper suitable. You can't help a guy do nothing. You can't help a guy do nothing. The male was created and given work first. Look at Genesis 2:15. Are you guys with me? Or you want me to wrap it up? It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So in Genesis 2:15, first thing God said is work. All right? Verse 16, God says, there's the tree. Don't touch it. Verse 17, God says, here's my instruction to you. Keep this instruction and you will live. If you don't, you will die. And verse 18 says, God says, now it's not good for this man to be alone. So the man was working before God thought about any other person coming. The word work, means to become. To become means to know your purpose and pursue it. You have some idea of your purpose, of what you were born to do, and you are moving toward it. That means the male man should have some sense of where he's going, ladies, before you get involved with him. You don't hear me on that. Nothing is worse than a woman married to a man who has no idea of where he's going. Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why many women have problems with their men. Listen to me. If he is supposed to have some sense or some idea where he's going before he meets a woman, and the woman, is designed to help meet, to help him get to where he's going, That means the woman is built, she's equipped, she's wired, she's filled, she's stuffed. She's full of helping equipment. Listen, a woman got all kinds of equipment. She's got intuition. She's got sensitivity. She's got all kind of creativity, mental, intellectual capacity. She's heavy. She's deep. She can plan. She can build. She can think. She's awesome. And all of that male comes to you to help you. Amen. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. If she comes equipped with all these tools and you ain't doing nothing, you got yourself, listen, a frustrated helper. I'm going to tell you, many of the women in the world are constipated people. Listen, they are full of stuff, but ain't nothing coming out because they married a guy who ain't doing nothing but sitting there drinking beer and watching TV all day. And listen, this woman, she got all these ideas, all these plans, all these dreams, all this passion, all this energy, all this intellect, all this intuition, all this ministry, and she's saying, I can't get it out. Yeah. Ladies, the first thing to ask a man is not, do you love me? But where are you going? Where are you going? Why? Why? I want to know if I want to go with you. I want to know if I want to go with you. Women, listen, women were born to help. They were built to help. They were designed to help. So you better have some idea or sense of where you're going when she shows up. Look, if you're not married and a guy is interested in you, you need to come up with some different questions. Number one, ask him, are you in the garden? Do you have a sense of God's presence? Do you have a sense of God's love? Do you have any understanding of God's grace? Number two question, do you know where you're going? Do you have any sense of purpose? Do you have any vision for your future? Do you have any plan for your life? Let me see it if you do. Why? Because I'm loaded. I'm loaded. I got equipment. I want to know if I can help you. Now, let me say this. Let me say this to the males. Listen, you might have a career. You might be working on a career, have a job. But if you get married to a woman or you're going with a woman who is interested in marrying you, remember that your career is not necessarily your vision. So she can't help you with your job. What I'm talking about here is something different that the family can fulfill in God. So you need something bigger than your career. She didn't marry you just for you to have a good job. She married you to help fulfill the purpose of God for the family. That's why she became a part of the family. That's why she made the family with you. She wants to help fulfill the vision that God put in your life together as a family. So you need to come up with a vision that's not just job related. There has to be something that she can contribute to 100%. I mean, some men think women just marry them to support their jobs. Listen, she might have a career. She might have things to do. She's got vision. She's got passion. She's got talent. She's got gifts. She's got all these energies, all these intuitions, all these powerful, wonderful things God put in her, and she ain't going to sit around and just watch you succeed at your job. She wants to be a part of something where she can say, listen, we did this together. You know what Jesus did to the church? Who's the church? His wife, right? Jesus is the bridegroom. His church is his wife. Isn't that right? What did he do? Jesus had a project. His project was win the world, spread the love and grace of God. Guess what he did? Guess what he did? He gave the project to his wife. Okay? You missed that. You missed that. Let me say, Jesus had a project. Who is Jesus? He's king. Where is Jesus? In heaven. What's he doing in heaven? He's sitting down at the right hand of power. And what's he doing there? He's interceding. That's his placement career. Listen. But he also had a bigger career for the family. He wants to win the world and spread his love and grace to everyone. And he told his wife, join me in this. You go preach the gospel. You win the world. You make disciples. You produce healthy relationship with me and others. I want you to be a part of this project. Christ wants his wife to be involved in kingdom business. Why? So when the joy comes, the woman and the husband dances together and says, look what we did together. We brought these people to the Father. So before you get married, make sure you at least have some sense of purpose, not just your career, but some sense of purpose that you can join in together. Because marriage was designed, listen, to bring about wholeness and completeness in purpose. Amen? Amen? Now, let me say one last thing about help meet or helper. Understand, all women have this ability, whether they have a husband or not. It is in your femininity to help somebody meet something. Number four, the man was given the word first about the tree. Interesting. The man was given the word first about the tree. The woman was given the word indirectly. She received it from the man. So the man becomes the teacher. And one of the things you need to ask a man, ladies, is, can you teach me anything about God? See, that cancels a lot of men out right away. Yeah. Here he is in his, with his Jerry curls and three-piece suit. Or bald head and three-piece suit. Bopping around real cool. And he comes and says, what's happening, baby? See, he throws a line on you. Listen, what's happening, baby? Baby. What's happening? See, he comes and he wants to rap with you. You know what you say? Can you teach me anything? Can you teach me anything about this word? You know what the Bible says about Jesus? Now, Jesus Christ is what? He's a male. And he has a wife. Her name is Ecclesia. Correct? And the Bible says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loves his wife. And then it tells you how. It says he gave his life for her. He washes her. He cleanses her by the washing of the water by the word. Then it says, so ought a man to love his wife. He gave her the word. Can he give you the word? And not just, I'm not talking about just quoting a few scriptures. Is it alive inside him? Is Christ living through him? Is the word and the revelation of this word a part of who he is? Can he teach you anything about God? Can he teach you anything about God's love? Can he teach you anything about the grace of God? Can he? Now, if you're on the scene first, if you're on the scene first and you knew information first, listen, you are designed to be the head. Now, Ephesians says the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. See, if you're the head, That makes you responsible for what comes afterwards. So man is the head, listen, not because he's better or bigger. He's the head because of the timing in creation. Now, head means, and I've heard so much bad teaching on this, I want to throw up. I'm the head of the home. I'm the boss. No, listen, head, this is what it means. Head means responsible one. You didn't get it. Head means responsible one. It doesn't mean you are the boss. It means you are responsible. Now responsible, listen. Now you listen to this closely. Responsible means that you take the credit for what goes right, listen, and you take the blame for what goes wrong. That's responsible. You still want to be a mailman? If your family fails, it's your fault. If they succeed, it's your credit. When Eve picked the fruit from the tree, church, who did God ask for? Who did God ask for? Not Eve. Why? Why not Eve? Because she's not responsible for the family. The male was first. He said, Adam, where are you? What happened to you? What did you do? What did he do? Blamed her. He said, it's the woman you gave me. God said, no, don't try that, Adam. You're the head. So that's why a man who can't cultivate a woman, can't develop her, can't make her better, is not a good mate. God, listen, God never, never gives a man a finished woman. Because the male is a cultivator. And if God builds you for something, men, he ties your fulfillment to that thing. So a man is fulfilled when he can say, I helped develop this woman. I made her better. I cultivated her. So let me just say something here about women who have an attitude when it comes to this stuff. See, some women don't know why men don't bother with them. I'll give you a little hint. Sometimes men avoid you and you can't figure out why. Here's why. Because they have a feeling from that woman doesn't need them. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever, communicate to a man that you don't need him, don't worry, honey. You're not going to attract any man. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean? I mean, I'm not talking about you walking around being totally dependent on a man or codependent. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude that women can communicate that they need nobody. Because a man gets his fulfillment from the ability to cultivate a woman, to cultivate the woman. So God never gives the man a finished woman. No man in the world, listen, no man in the world marries the woman he wants. He always marries the woman who can become her. See, many men, you get in trouble because you think she's the woman, he thinks he's the woman he wanted until after the marriage. Then he realizes, this is not exactly what I wanted. And God made sure it wasn't exactly what you wanted because part of your fulfillment as a male is to cultivate her. This is where the man gets in trouble because when he lives with the woman and she ain't acting the way he wants her to act and she ain't what he wanted, then he goes looking again to find, listen, this woman in his head, and that's the only place where she exists, by the way, in his head. Understand? That's the only place she exists, in his head. So he divorces that one, and he marries this other one. And he figures, boy, you know, I found the right one. And after 6 months, he's saying, what is this, Mondo? After a while, he says, you ain't what I want either. And he divorces her and marries someone. And then he finds, he sees the woman, he sees the perfect one. And then he marries her, and the same thing happens again. Look, he missed the whole point. Listen, you cultivate. You create the woman you are married to. You lovingly cultivate her. See, you keep looking for this perfect woman. And guess what? Guess what? You might be married to her. You might be married to her. So you're looking around at all these other women saying, boy, I wish my woman was like her. No, 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 no. Let me just let you in on this. All of them are just like your woman. None of them are fully developed. So listen, I'm going to say this and close. So cultivate, listen, the one you got. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen. Well, we're going to stop for today. That's enough for today on male and female. Before we close in song, I'm going to ask one male and one female to come up and to pray for us today. Ken, come on up. And then I'm going to ask a female. Come on, I need a female volunteer to just pray for our relationships. Pray for us, male and female. Pray for what the Lord leads on your heart to pray.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, as I was hearing Charlie today, I was reminded of the scripture where you're praying for your church. You're praying for your church to become one so that we may know who you are. And it struck me, Lord, that as we talk about our relationships as men and women, that you're calling us to that same kind of unity, to step into the roles that you have given us, to become one so that the world might really see that you are the one who has created us, that you are the one who loves us, that it's through your grace and through your mercy that we can even become one. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would take these words that Charlie has given us today and put them in our hearts. And Lord, illumine them as this week goes by.
Yeah.
So that we might really understand the roles that you've given us as men and women, and that you would, speaking as a man, help us to understand our role as supporting our women, the women around us, our spouses, the women that we're involved in, and Lord, helping us to cultivate them and helping us to love them better so that you might be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.
We need a female man. After Michelle prays, we're going to close in song.
First, I just want to thank God because I know it's the Holy Spirit that everything that he preached, the Lord woke me and my daughter up. 6 o'clock this morning, I didn't know why. We were in Genesis this morning. And I just praise God for it. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the truth, Lord God. Lord, because you said the truth will set us free, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for just maturing us up in you, Lord God. Lord, I pray for every marriage, every single person here, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would speak to them, Lord God, and they would be led by the Holy Spirit, Lord, in every decisions they make for their life, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm a witness, Lord God, of this word this morning, what you're doing in and through me and my husband, through the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, and the evidence is there, Lord God. We just got to trust your word. I pray that they will trust your word, Lord God, and stand on your word, and it will help you, and it will mature you, and grow you up. Lord, I pray blessings to every marriage, Lord God, to every single person, especially the youth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want all the males to say right now, thank you, Lord, for the female. And I want all the females to say, thank you, Lord, for the male. And now let's all say thank you, Lord, for the Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week for This Generation Sunday.
Yeah.